Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing another strategy podcast, basically going through an old team build that I had a couple years ago. I did a startup draft. I did one of these, I think, last week or so, and it was pretty well received in terms of going through some team building ideas and that sort of thing. So figured, hey, let's give it another shot, see how this goes. So this is another Safe League startup draft, and it went sort of strange to start, and now I'm sort of in a different spot, and I've made a ton of moves on this team in the past year or so. So just run down real quick. So again, Superflex, tight end, premium, and that's pretty much the formats. Start 10, it's a one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, a Superflex spot, a tight end, and then a couple flexes on top. So you do have some ability to have some flexibility, so that's good. Just looking back at some of the trades that I did make, some of the draft picks that I did make, going back again, it was done in May of 2019. So 106, that's DeAndre Hopkins. It's pretty good. Result there when you consider the rest of the first round. This is pretty interesting. Just again, we think we know so much, and this is less than 2 years ago. Okay, here's the first round from less than 2 years ago. Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Odell Beckham Jr., Patrick Mahomes was quarterback one, Alvin Kamara was 105, and DeAndre Hopkins was 106. So five out of the top six, still pretty good. Zeke Elliott, 7. Devontae Adams, 8. So again, 7 out of the first 8. Pretty good hits there. Andrew Luck at 9. Travis Kelce, 10. George Kittle, 11. Zach Ertz is at 12. So, and this is just to think how different this time frame was. This is not that long ago. Andrew Luck's a first round pick. Just think about how much of a losing proposition that is at this point. So, this is just a, but for the grace of God, I didn't draft Odell Beckham Jr., right? That's pretty much where we're at. So Hopkins, pretty good hit there. I come back with Evans in the second round. Again, good hit. When you sort of look at the quarterbacks, again, I think the big thing to note here is that it's just a much slower pace in terms of these quarterbacks coming off. So, you have Aaron Rodgers, for example. It's quarterback 5 in the mid second round, only 2 quarterbacks in the first round, 7 through the first 2 round, basically 10 through the first 3, and then 13 through the first 4. And then you sort of pick up a little bit of pace thereafter. So I was comfortable sitting in the teens at the quarterback position and going after it. Third round, I take Nick Chubb. So basically 3 for 3 in terms of didn't really swing and miss, which is pretty nice. And then I get down to round 4, and this is where it gets a little hairy. So I take Kerryon Johnson, and notably I took Kerryon Johnson. Honestly, when you look at the rest of the round, like it doesn't, I mean, yeah, it's a miss, no doubt. The guys in the round, just to give you an idea, Adam Thielen, OJ Howard, Dak Prescott, so that's a miss. This is Kyler Murray's rookie season, so he goes in that round as well. Brandon Cooks is at 405, Eric Ebron's at 406, Kerryon Johnson at 407. He fell to me quite a bit. That's, I think, a notable part. Kenny Galladay, 408, Evan Ingram, 409, Hunter Henry, 410, David Joku, 411, Jameis Winston, 412. So one of the things I say, and I talked about this in a prior episode that I did earlier this week, was it's okay to be out on that middle range. And there's some danger in that zone that's probably more than we really appreciate or care to say. And when you sort of look back at some of these drafts, I think that's a pretty consistent range of it's a higher miss rate in terms of what we expect. Sliding down a little bit where you're shifting your odds isn't all that great to get a higher end asset by trading up. That's pretty nice. So just keep that in mind when you look back at some of these. I think that's a pretty interesting one. Fournette gets to 506. I almost would never have done that, but yeah, he gets to 506. This range is interesting too. Again, I'm not going to do every pick, but Kirk Cousins was in the 5th round. So that's a spot where I would have been looking for sure. So he would have been at, he's quarterback 15 in that range. Garoppolo was 14. Trubisky was actually 17 and Lamar Jackson was 16. So an interesting range in there. Again, it's a high range of outcomes. So just keep those things in mind. But yeah, I took Fournette. He fell to me, and it's been a up and down couple of years, but I got a pretty big success in year one. So really 4 for 5 to start in terms of getting hits. Would you like a couple of double hits? It's a little up and down there with Nick Chubb, in terms of some of the injury stuff this past year, but you basically got like kind of a hit and a half out of Fournette, and we'll see what happens in free agency and all those things. So again, I didn't make any huge mistakes there. It has looked, Kerryon Johnson was a mistake, but at the time he was an ascending asset. So just be careful on some of those ascending guys. It's worth noting that unless you're actually there, have a little bit of caution. Cam Akers pointing at you. So other guys here. So in the sixth round, I basically operated my strategy, which was to go quarterback. So I went Phillip Rivers, Matthew Stafford in the seventh, and then Andy Dalton in the eighth. So I did get three starters at this point. And here's maybe where the miss is. I only have one. Now, if you go back and look at it, you could say, like, Allen Robinson went in the eighth round. I'm not sure what happened there. I don't know if he was coming off an injury or whatnot, but that's a pretty outlandish outlier there. David Montgomery in the eighth round. Again, this was just his rookie season. So Darrell Henderson, some pretty big miss there as well. I did get 2 years out of Rivers as a starter. And when you sort of look in that range, there's a vast array of guys in this range. There's some really good assets in here. So there's Calvin Ridley. I mean, this sixth through seventh round is pretty loaded. Calvin Ridley, Aaron Jones, Derrick Henry, DJ Moore, Tyler Boyd, Josh Allen, Tom Brady. So that's the sixth, seventh round. So just keep in mind that the perception on some of these guys might be down, but that's a pretty nice round. And when you compare it to that stacks up to much, much earlier rounds as well. Josh Jacobs in that range as well. So just keep that in mind. Andy Dalton, we'll see. We'll see. I don't think that necessarily it's over, but when you look at his, as I'm recording this, and it might be different when this actually comes out, I'm not going to release this right away. I'm going to release it a few days later. Yeah, he might be a starting quarterback someplace, but that is quarterback 29, to give you an idea. So, again, that's 91 overall, 807, quarterback 29. So I've gotten, a year, maybe about a year and a half of usage out of him. We'll see going forward. I might actually outpace some of the guys in this range, just to give you an idea. Devonta Freeman, Mike Williams, Daniel Jones. Like I said, Miles Sanders, Allen Robinson, outliers in this range. Nick Foles in this range. Christian Kirk, excuse me. Vance McDonald, Tariq Cohen, Julian Edelman. So, again, taking some of those quarterbacks there that have, a floor of being an NFL starter, there is some value. Landry in the ninth round. Mark Andrews, probably my best pick in the 10th round. That's going pretty deep at the position, too. And that was one that he was tight end 16 at that point. I made a mistake trade on him later, which we'll talk about. 11th round, Royce Freeman. 12th, Alexander Mattison. 13th, Deonta Foreman. That was when he was thought to maybe be a potential like an injury away guy. That was sort of the thought there. Joe Flacco in the 14th. He was going to be a starter in Denver at that point, memory serves. Let's see here. Devin Funchess as well. I haven't really got much out of that. Again, he's one of the selective guys in the 15th, 16th round that you'd be interested in. Guys going in that range, it's like Albert Wilson, DeMarcus Robinson. So you kind of take the shot on the profile that has actually done it in that range. Darren Waller goes in that range too. Man, I wish I would have known. Hayden Hurst as well. That was pre-Atlanta Hayden Hurst. 16th round, pretty big success with John Brown. That was nice in that early contending window there for me in year one. I got off to a better start than I maybe anticipated. Giovanni Bernard, 17:06, so that one paid off. Adam Shaheen in the 18th round, you know, missed on Terry McLaurin going there. Again, that's a day two rookie. That's a place that I am going to miss. Turning down to the 19th round, Chase Edmonds. So we'll see, you know, how that's an incomplete. Got some production to date so far. That's a little bit of an incomplete in here. You're looking at guys that hit in this range. DJ Chark, for example. Again, I'm going to miss on that profile. But when you sort of look in this range, like it's Mike Davis goes in this range. Blake Jarwin, that was Rob Gronkowski when he was retired. So again, the hits are few and far between. You get a couple of these starter weeks, it actually looks like a success. I for some reason took Kelvin Harmon. It actually was an expired pick. I'm not sure how that happened. If memory serves, I was actually on a trip during this part and I was driving. I'm trying to remember back on this draft. I think I was actually driving on a trip and I got auto picked while I didn't have my phone on it. So now Mrs. AOD has been instructed and taught how to actually draft for me while we're driving. So we don't have to worry about that. But you know, I honestly didn't miss much in the range. There's virtually no one after him that round that was even valuable. Elijah Holyfield, Nelson Aguilar, I guess, but I probably wouldn't have held him that long. Rodney Anderson, Nick Mullins, Jason Witten. Yeah, so that's kind of what we're dealing with. Alfred Blue in the 21st round. Again, similar. There's a lot of misses in here. Ryan Tannehill was actually a 21st round pick that year, so that was a miss on my part. Wayne Gallman, 22nd round. That's a success in the round for sure. Gus Edwards, Miles Gaskin, of guys of note in this range. So again, over and over again, lots of running backs deep. Yeah, you're just hoping to hit the right ones. Tony Pollard actually in this range as well. In hindsight, that's a miss. That's absolutely a miss on my part. I thought Mike Weber was going to be more the backup, and Tony Pollard was going to project to be a little bit more special teams role than true one injury away guy. Definitely a miss on my part. So we have the Mike Weber rule. So that's a good thing too. To keep in mind that if there's two guys that have a difference in pedigree of that note in the same class, you really have to be skeptical of the second one over the first one. So that's really the lesson learned from that class as well. Austin Safarian Jenkins took a shot on him. Chris Warren, a shot deep. Again, some of the guys in this range. Tyler Higbee is actually a pretty good success in this range as well. Should have probably been on the tight end train a little bit more than I was. Josh Doxson late. Again, I was just trying to buy some targets. Didn't work out. Danny Amendola has actually been a pretty good success from the 27th round there. You know, when you look like Theo Riddick, Alex Smith, Raheem Mostert was actually in that 28th round. So that's a pretty big success from there. And then I took Demetrius Harris. So I think if there's a mistake that I made, I didn't really get a big hit outside of John Brown in the double-digit rounds. Like that's a and there's some incomplete stuff. You know, is Madison a miss yet? We'll see. You know, but that's really the thing. I got some situational hits, but no real home run from outside that. Got a couple doubles, and you know, I probably out hit the rest of the class depending on what we wanted to measure, but nothing really like life changing. So that would have been a big thing there. I actually started really well in this league, which was pretty notable. I was pretty up there in contention, and well into the end of the first year. And so I you know, this is one that I'll go back and look on and think of, you know, is what happened? Did I, you know, where's my error? Sort of in this team build, definitely the quarterback longevity thing was something that came up and comes up now, and I've sort of had to fix a little bit. I made two trades in that first year. Like I said, I made the playoffs. I think I was just outside of being a buy team. Just checking here. I finished 8-5, had the third most points in the league. And I think I lost two to end the season. I was sort of right in the contention, could have made a bye, but just missed out, and ended up going 8-5. I think I lost in the second round of the playoffs. So I made two trades in here. One was basically, I got Josh Gordon for Josh Reynolds. And that was someone was trying to get a late start out of Josh Reynolds on like a Sunday night to try and, I think sneak into the playoffs or something. I forget exactly why that was, but Josh getting a start out of Josh Reynolds. Maybe it was a week that Cooper Kupp was out or something. Josh Reynolds had significance for that player at that point. He was trying to, get another player in his lineup. So, and I think Josh Gordon was, I don't know if he was suspended or whatnot, but I said, hey, there's a wider range of outcomes on Josh Gordon. So that's the deal I made there. The big mistake that I made was I traded Mark Andrews for Le'Veon Bell. I thought Le'Veon Bell still had three down workhorse running back. I did this in September of that year. And then everything sort of went to hell pretty soon thereafter. Mark Andrews is a top six tight end at this point. So that was one that I wish I had back. Again, they sort of they were similar pace down the stretch, and now Andrews is more valuable. So I wasn't totally on how valuable 20 tight ends are in this format either at that point. So that's something that I think I would, go back and maybe adjust a little bit in terms of how that all went. So like I said, made the playoffs, didn't get a championship or anything like that, but a good start to the season. Drew 108 in the rookie draft, and just sat and took DeAndre Swift. He got to me. There was, that 2020 class. It went Burrow, Taylor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Someone had 1 and 3 and took Burrow and Edwards-Helaire. And then, let's see. Yeah, so it was... Tua went 4, Akers 5, Dobbins 6, Lamb 7. So I got the wide receiver to sneak in there and got Swift at 8. I did try and trade up to get inside that line, but ultimately didn't need to. So that was pretty nice. Took A.J. Dillon at 208. It's worth noting Antonio Gibson behind him at 211. So that's one thing to note there. Again, I think if there's a scenario where in an alternate universe that Darius Geis doesn't get suspended and the Antonio Gibson thing never happens, it broke right for Gibson and he played really well. And things just haven't broken right for Dillon. So, you take him in the order of pedigree, and that's kind of what we did there. T Higgins went ahead, Brandon Ayuk went ahead. So I didn't even really pass on wide receivers. Honestly, it was a pretty open and shut case there for Dillon. Cole Kmet at 308, so that was a good success, getting that day two pedigree in round three. Smashing success every time you can do it. And then in the fourth round, I took Dalton Keene. Again, just taking that day two, you just take that day two pedigree that late and just kind of hope it works out. For Dalton Keene, I'm recording this on the backs of Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. So when you look at it though, when you actually go back and look at it, that pick, so that 408, I was doing some work. I could just incorporate that here. That is a hit rate there of something like 7% would sort of be your approximate hit rate there. So just keep that in mind when you're sort of taking those shots, when you're taking those upside shots at your later on in the draft, that you're trying to beat that with base rates, and that's 7% is the hit rate for the first 3 years. The odds of that hit turning into being two top half finishes is a 1% shot. So just keep in mind that those are super low probability bets. You take your shots, but that's the thing. Just looking here at the other thing, and I'm going to do a piece on this with the hit rates here in another form, but I can just preview it here. When you look at the Cole Kmet thing, so he was like a 14% shot. That rookie pick is the implied 14% shot. So yeah, again, beating the pick value with the base rates. So you kind of like to do that. The season didn't go well, it just didn't really go well. Obviously, Kerryon Johnson hurt. DeAndre Swift didn't really get off to a great start. Quarterback situation wasn't great either. Rivers was okay. Stafford's okay. No one really elevated. The receivers were fine. Tight end was just pretty dismal after losing Andrews, and just I didn't have any backfill. Again, that's just something mistake that I have sort of tried to rectify now. I had some troubles, like Jarvis Landry didn't do much as a wide receiver 3. Hopkins and Evans is a 1-2 is nice, but I just didn't have any sort of real juice. You know, Chubb getting hurt didn't help. I didn't overperform anywhere, and that's kind of put me in the middle of the pack. I ended up finishing, get the exact record here. I ended up finishing with a, you know, with a record of 5-8, I believe. And the thing about it is, it's really interesting in these safe league formats. Is you get, you definitely can get a scenario where you are essentially. An AOD build is pretty nice, because what happens is we can kind of outperform with, you know, with some of the picks and the, you know, we can get kind of get it right with our lineup decisions. But at the same time, the potential points ends up not being that high. You're not benching a lot of these guys, so you're getting a couple hidden efficiencies. So I just missed out on the playoffs, but it was actually like third worst in potential points. So I got kind of the break of that, the scoring thing there for sure. I could have pushed for a, I could have pushed for more of a, down the stretch. Definitely I could have pushed for a playoff position. But it became pretty apparent to me that it just wasn't going to happen. And it got to one of those points where I'm like this is kind of a high dollar league as well. So I kind of want, like, it's really important to have those upside shots. So I did make up a couple of deals in the draft, which when you sort of go, or in the league, which when you go back and sort of look at it, kind of explains a little bit of how the team ended up kind of where it was. So I gave up Myles Gaskin, who had a good early start, for Jared Cook. Again, that's kind of blah all around at this point. Myles Gaskin could, I guess, conceivably have some upside running back potential. I thought Jared Cook kind of fit my contending window, and, you know, it didn't really turn out to help me all that much. But it got to a point where it didn't cost me very much to try and fix some tight end things. So you do it with a little pedigree guy. That's kind of the playbook. As things sort of turned towards November, again, I was on the fence about contending, but I just didn't really think I had the upside juice to get there. Le'Veon Bell wasn't helping me. You know, some of these things just kind of broke away from me. But what I ended up doing was I ended up making a big trade that actually was really nice. Again, thinking about your scoring system is a big deal, and exploiting these minor rules can be a really, really big deal. When I looked at this team, it was a team that I was going to hunt their first. I'm hunting this first because A, they're overperforming on all play. Right, their record was a win and a half better than their all-play record. You know, we're talking early November when I'm making this deal. So we're halfway into the season. You know, we're getting there in terms of some sample size building up. Like, this team's clearly overperforming, and their potential points were like amongst the worst in the league. And I said, that's a pick I got to hunt. And the way the scoring, the way the draft pick order actually works is, even if they make the playoffs and don't finish in the top three, you still get the order of where their potential points were. So even if they were like a 7-16, made the playoffs and lost in the first round, like, I could still conceivably get a really high pick. Hunted that first, said, let's make a deal. Let's give them some immediate help. It's just not going to help them. And all the benefits on my side, again, trying to take those high leverage, high upside shots, really looking to do that in these leagues, especially when the payout's pretty big. So I wasn't going to really do damage. Could I made the playoffs? Probably. And things probably would have broken right that I would have made the playoffs, in terms of, like, Giovanni Bernard came on. I got some help down the stretch. But, you know, looking at it, I said, I think ultimately the longer term bet is to make this play. Trade Phillip Rivers, Le'Veon Bell, and Jared Cook for a future first, a 2021 first. That pick turns out to be 101. So huge addition for me, right? None of those guys are probably going to help him this year, and I'm going to have his first round pick. That is just it's a huge benefit. Just trying to think ahead and being pretty aggressive on that angle of it. So yeah, I was really, really pumped and jacked about that trade. That gave me a future asset. Sold Giovanni Bernard sort of in the middle of his stretch for a future third. So that was nice as well. And then basically exit the season, I earn 103. So I have 103 101, 203, and then I've got my picks in third and fourth round, and I actually picked up the future third there with Giovanni Bernard. It's a late one. I think that guy actually won the championships. I think it might be 312. So exit the season, and I make this self-evaluation. Really important. Hey, need to think about this, need to really be in on, making some improvements to this team. I have a need at quarterback. I've got bullets to fire. I've got 101. I've got 103. Do I need to fire them on quarterbacks? Can I fire them in other ways? Let's think about how we do that. So I do a couple of things in this trade and this team build that I think are notable. Early February, I say, all right, I got DeAndre Hopkins. Like, what else does DeAndre Hopkins looks like? Well, it looks kind of like Keenan Allen, to be honest. It's super different in terms of age. It's not super different in terms of like physicality or anything like that. Both profiles, wide receiver ones with varying degrees of, useful quarterbacks, varying degrees of competence at quarterbacks. I think they're both, above a baseline for sure. We'll see what we can do. Maybe we can arbitrage that. What else can we extract? Well, one way to fix quarterback is with some volume. Let's take Jameis Winston. So I traded DeAndre Hopkins for Keenan Allen, Jameis Winston, and actually Darrington Evans as a throw-in. So I said, all right, well, that'll give me – I'm not really taking that much of a hit at wide receiver. It gives me some optionality at the quarterback position. So that gives me another bullet to fire. If things break – I want options to be able to break my way is really the thing that I would say. So the next deal I make, I actually end up making three quarterback-centric deals. The next one that I make is actually Nick Chubb. I gave straight up for Aaron Rodgers. I said, this will really help me. And now Jameis Winston's a luxury asset. And I said, okay. And, let's see what else we have to offer. Come back. I get another offer in here for 103. Someone offers me 103. Offers to get my 103, which is the pick that I earned. They offer me Kirk Cousins, Jamal Williams, Mark Andrews, and 204 for 103. So what does that do for me? Well, it really shores up quarterbacks. And now I've got four bullets to fire because I still have Dalton actually, but I also have Matthew Stafford. So now my top three quarterbacks look like Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, and Kirk Cousins. Much better than rolling just Matthew Stafford and 101. So I've got some optionality there. I shore up tight end as well. So that gives me another asset to fire in terms of the, in terms of that tight end. I have some assets there with the tight end position. So again, just constantly trying to backfill that position, figure out ways to get players added on. How do you fill a need? Well, you can do it with a high end asset, or you can do it with throwing multiple pieces at it. With this particular team, I said, well, we can throw assets at it. We'll get Mark Andrews. I don't think the drop off from 103 to Kirk Cousins and Mark Andrews is all that much. If you're looking quarterbacks there, I like Kirk Cousins to be on that track, and Mark Andrews is a top six tight end, and I'm getting a second back, and I've got Jamal Williams. So we'll see what happens with Jamal Williams. He's just a luxury variance piece to this deal. But lots of options there in terms of things to go right. So as I sit here right now, my quarterback room looks vastly different. One guy I had a ton of coming down the stretch of the season was Chase Daniels, just because I thought, hey, like if Stafford gets injured, I've got him. So I had him in a bunch of different spots, and I thought that there was an outside chance that he would be a 2021 starter, because I thought that I thought Stafford's contract was movable and something that we could actually see moved. And ultimately it was. Chase Daniels was a 10% bet in that calculus, and I rolled the 90%. So that's fine. He'll be a cut most likely. So my quarterback depth chart now looks a lot different. Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Jameis Winston, and now I have Andy Dalton as well. We'll see what happens with that. Like I said, it could be vastly different from the time you actually hear this podcast, from when I record it, in terms of what his outlook looks like. Jared Stidham's also there. When you do a rundown of the running back position, I still have some needs. I still have to figure out a way to get a higher end asset. And that's one of the things with this, with some of the tracking stuff I'm doing on my teams, right? That's a go-to look at, you know, a look-see, something I really need to think about. How am I going to do this? And I've got bullets to fire in terms of figuring that out. But yeah, at the position, DeAndre Swift is the headliner. I've got Fournette, so we'll see what free agency lands him. Have A.J. Dillon, so that would have been nice, but not so much. Kerryon Johnson, one injury away. Alexander Mattison, one injury away. Jordan Wilkins, one injury away. We'll see what happens with Jamal Williams. But yeah, that's pretty much the build, right? Mike Davis, Devonta Booker. So I've got a bunch of these one injury away guys that I like, and you know, we'll see what happens. Some, you know, Darrington Evans as well. So constantly going to churn that. Add a couple more of these guys. Can I turn? You know, one or two of these pieces into a long term starter? That's something that I'm looking to do. Hey, does Fournette sign a multi-year deal to be a starting running back someplace and really help me out? Like, that'd be awesome. And that would really, really turn the arc of my team. Am I able to negotiate a trade using Matthew Stafford, or heck, using Aaron Rodgers to go up? You know, we'll see how all of that shapes out, but those are all definitely options for me. Do I bail out on 101 and pick up assets and the process? All of those things are options for me. So, the receiver position again looks a little light. This is absolutely one of those situations where I have this is a hole that I need to fill. So really, running back two or running back three, depending on sort of how you're measuring Fournette at any given moment, is something I really need to get better at. And I think also making a wide receiver three or wide receiver two type addition. Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, Jarvis Landry, a couple other guys in there, Amendola and John Brown, they're not really assets. How do I get that asset to be, how do I make Mike Evans a wide receiver three? How do I make Jarvis Landry a wide receiver four? How do I make Keenan Allen a wide receiver two? You know, keep bumping those guys back down a level, and that'll get me some spots. So have some options that I have to figure out and pursue there in terms of some stop gaps. Again, if I get a guy that is a wide receiver three producer, I can still contend with this team. But constantly looking and trying to figure out ways to get that wide receiver room better is definitely something that I'm going to do. But I feel okay at this point. This isn't a crisis level. It's a thing I need to work at, right? This isn't something I need to tear down my house, right? This is constantly going to be one of those projects of like, all right, now I know I got to finish I got to finish the tub in the bathroom, and then, okay, well then I'm going to move over to the toilet. You're kind of like doing a remodel, and it's not something that you need to hire a firm to come in and spend $75,000 on a rebuild of your bathroom, but just take it kind of piece by piece. And can I make, you know, can I turn DeAndre Swift into, another running back plus a wide receiver that helps me? Those sorts of things are the things that I think I need to look at, and those arbitrage plays. So that's really the outlook of it now. And then, you know, at tight end, I've got Mark Andrews, I've got Komet, who's a serviceable tight end too at this particular point. But I do have some needs there as well. So this team has, one of the misses that I made, I didn't hit from deep in a draft to give me some depth. I have some pieces that are, you know, weekly plays, but I didn't make a big strike, a big hit. My big hit was really the asymmetric outcome of getting the 101. So we'll see what that looks like. And as I sort of look here at this draft, you know, I look at, there's probably multiple ways to go with this. Someone has 102 and 106. They also have 104. Is that something, you know, plus some additional items? Is that something that might interest me? I think that that's something that could be potentially doable in the trade market in terms of looking at what that person could offer me in the trade. That's a place to start with. That's something that I'm looking at. And there's some other guys that have some potential move down. You know, someone has 103 and 111. Is there more there in terms of that team that I could sort out with? I thought about making the deal for 103. I thought about making it even a bigger one, because that person had the deal that I did where I gave up 103. I thought about actually going up to making that 101 and getting two firsts back. And thinking about that, I ultimately didn't go that route. I probably would have wanted Ayuk included in that deal. And he didn't really want to go that route. So, I have some movement pieces that I can make in terms of these deals for sure. So those are all things that I'm thinking about and looking at. How does this team stack up? Well, I'll say I think I'm really good at quarterback, and I think I have a above average tight end, above average tight end one. I've got two really good receivers, and I've got some assets at running back that I think can break my way. What do I need to do? I need a running back, and I need some tight end help, fill in a tight end two or tight end three. And that could be thrift shopping, right? Or it can be just taking falling pedigree. Those things are both things that I'm going to look at. That's really the thing. How can I sort of deal from this? Well, if Andy Dalton's a hit, right? If Andy Dalton gets a starting job, that helps. If Jameis Winston's a starter, that helps. That's an asset I can fire. So those are really the things that I look at. Neutral on picks going forward. So that's kind of where I'm at. Is this a team that I think is going to contend for a championship in 2021? I guess I wouldn't rule it out, but I need to get better for that to be a realistic outcome. Can it be? Absolutely. I think it can be. If that's a trade, if that presents me some options on, I think I have a surplus at quarterback, and that's really interesting. So is that moving from Rodgers to Dak, or is that moving from Stafford to Dak? Is that moving, how do I sort of make those things work? I think there's a lot of different options that I can do in terms of some creative options. Maybe I package one of those guys, and 101, get back an elite quarterback with some running back or wide receiver help, right? That's something that I could do as well. So thinking about all of those things, I think I have some options here going forward. I have a lot of flexibility. I hold the trump card in terms of 101. That's a first round startup pick sitting on my roster that I'm not using right now, and I can fire that a bunch of different ways. You just think of some of the trades that we've talked about in other shows and in other contexts of what you can get for that first round startup pick. You could get, you've seen second and a third. Think of the types of players that you could add into that deal. I think all that stuff is doable. Can you get a second, a fourth, and a sixth? Right? Are those type of things? Can you get a future first included in that? Sort of, you're looking at those assets, and as the clock gets nearer on the rookie draft, I think that 101 is only going to get more valuable. So that's really a breakdown of it. It goes a little long just because I like to sort of go in and talk about sort of the process a little bit. That's something we don't do a ton of on a day-to-day basis, but if we do it like more of a weekly thing, if you guys like it, that's something that I can keep doing. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Team strategy breakdown. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.